Blog Talk Radio.
Got so much going on, I'm telling you. But anyway, wow, we are just, I'm so excited. Oh my God, I cannot tell you the energy that I woke up with this morning. You know, some mornings you kind of wake up and you drag out of the bed. This morning, I could run a 10K. The energy is just off the chain. And you know what? I saw Carolyn's telephone number pop up first thing this morning. Wake up, Carolyn. I know you like to lay in bed and listen. Wake up. I love you, girl. Anyway, good morning. We are in the book study of mystics. Even mystics have bills to pay. And I have just enjoyed this book. I don't know about you guys, but I have because, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a mess, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, meaning you got to listen to the right stuff. You have to plant the right seeds in you. When you are in a spiritual battle, understand every problem that you have is a spiritual challenge. It's there for you to learn a lesson. So when you're in the middle of it, boy, you have to feed. If you are planning on running a marathon, don't you have to train? You got to get out there and train. You got to get where you have longevity and strength. It comes from practice. You don't get anything in the physical plane without practicing, without taking an action. And when you are dealing with your prosperity, with abundance coming into your life, you have to practice these principles. It's only 7. And I'm not going to go through them this morning because we talk about them all the time. There's only 7, but you have to practice. So I'm kind of making it easy for you because Dr. Reggie and I are here every weekday morning, at least 5 days out of the week that we're here, and we're to give you gentle reminders. And so, I mean, yeah, you know, you may get tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. I definitely try to mix it up a little bit for you guys and take you in a different direction to see. Like right now, we're looking at the spiritual principles of prosperity and abundance, but how to utilize it at work. So, yeah, we mix it up. I love the title of this book, Even Mystics. What's a mystic? A mystic is a person that's into these universal laws, that they are moving and having their being and experiencing their physical reality, not in the physical reality, but in their spiritual reality. They have a divine connect. They are connected with their divine energy within them. They are moving in the reality of spirit. So here you are, this powerful spiritual being, this powerful mystic, but you got bills to pay. How do we balance those two worlds? How do we feel comfortable about being extremely wealthy and being mystical? Hey, Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
You're on a booster shot. I'm not that hyper, but I do feel good.
I think it may be this coffee you made for me this morning. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm glad to see you up and exuberant. That's a good thing.
I know. I've been an adult for a while. Anyway, listen, creativity is flowing through me. Ideas are flowing through me. I'm just excited about life. And I should be. And I don't feel, I'm not apologizing for it.
Oh, you shouldn't. No, always be happy about the joy of life, yes.
So if you guys aren't up on it this morning, well, okay. I hope maybe I'm sending you this energy this morning. I'm sending it to you. Dr. Rich, take us into our morning prayer.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day on Thursday, the day of manifesting. We thank you for the angel Raziel, who knows all the secrets of the universe, who stands in the presence of you always, and who dispenses manifestation of prosperity and abundance. Everyone who listens to this show, may they be blessed by this angel and experience instant manifestation of income, relationships, and other forms of prosperity as granted by the Holy Spirit. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Oh, what are we going to talk about today? First of all, I just want to tell you guys that you are powerful, powerful beings. I want to remind you and move you into that conscious awareness of how powerful you really are. You're so powerful that you can speak what you desire and it will become a reality. So I hope no one out there is saying, I don't have, because you're so powerful you won't have. Just a gentle reminder. So yesterday we were talking about, if you guys are following my lessons plans on Blog Talk Radio, today we were supposed to talk about our responsibilities as associates. We're not employees anymore. We are associates because, of course, if we're working for someone else, we have sought to align ourselves with a company where we feel that we are an associate. We are a part of that company. We're not just somebody showing up to get a paycheck. We have a vested interest in that company, so we are associates. And so, yes, today I was supposed to talk about the responsibilities of you as an individual, as an associate working with an organization, but we got through that yesterday. So today I'm going to talk about being debt-free in the 21st century. How many of you are in debt? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Here's what he says, and when I say he, I'm talking about the author of the book, who is Jim Rosemurgi. He says that indebtedness is considered by many to be our primary block to prosperous living. But here's the deal. Debt is a fact of life in today's society. Many of us spend nearly our whole lives in debt to some institution. It is clear that financial ruin can come to any company or individual whose debts are not paid. But the good news is that the debt that we or a company may owe in the 21st century, that's not what is important. Hey, Brenda, how you doing, girl? Debt is not the important issue. From a spiritual perspective, debt is not owing money to an individual or even to a financial institution. True debt occurs when we think we cannot pay the debt, or if we begrudge the fact that we must pay. So listen, he's narrowed it down to two things that are the problem: what you think and what you feel. We're right back into those principles, aren't we? What is most important in your existence on planet Earth in the physical realm is what you think and what you feel. Okay? True debt is a thought of lack, and it must be paid. True debt is a thought of lack, and it must be paid. So understanding this principle, the Charles Fillmore shares an interesting viewpoint on indebtedness in his book Prosperity. That was the first book that we studied in Circles of Prosperity. And we went through that book three times. You know, I haven't done it on Blog Talk Radio. I should probably bring that book and do that book on Blog Talk Radio. But those of you who've been with me from the beginning, we went through that book three times. Fillmore states that it is possible for the creditor, the one who is actually owed the money, to go in debt with the debtor. And this occurs when accounts receivable, that's the money that is owed to you, but the payment isn't forthcoming. So the creditor then begins to think lack. His focus is on what he does not have. If the one owed the money continues to think in this way, he too goes into debt. For indebtedness is not just owing money to another. It is allowing one's consciousness to be filled with lack. How many of you have loaned some money to a person and they promised to pay you back and they haven't paid you back and now you're resentful and you talk about them like a dog? Then you have moved into a consciousness of lack. And hey, my brother, Cody, I know you're in the business of loaning people money to get out of jail. And then they don't follow up or follow through. You know, listen to this lesson. Cody, you pop up in my mind all the time, baby. I love you. This is a great lesson. So if you're in business and people owe you money and they're not paying, you cannot afford to start resenting that they have not paid you. Let's talk about how to shift. Yes, this debt must be paid. The trend of negative thinking and focus upon what is not received, it must cease. Fillmore points out that the creditor should bless the debtor and know the truth about this person. Thinking ill thoughts about the individual or the company is not helpful. Many a creditor has found that after he or she has ceased focusing upon what was owed, then the bills were paid. So you've got to start saying, you know what? I'm receiving income. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't even really care where it's coming from. I'm just open to receive. Rather than looking at all of your accounts receivables that are outstanding and saying this money isn't here, why can't you, and these people are deadbeats and blah, all this stuff and getting angry and, well, I don't know why they have, let me call them and bug them. No. Shift, shift, shift. This is a healthy approach for the leadership of any businesses. A long time ago, I read a story about a man who was owed some money, and he sent out notices requesting payment, but nothing happened. And this disturbed him. And finally, a solution came to his mind. He wrote the debtor and told him of his upset, and then blessed him and forgave the bill. So from a pure business standpoint, this solution absolutely made no sense, did it? But from a spiritual perspective, it was an ideal solution because the creditor realized that his consciousness of lack and his resentment had become a barrier to his prosperity. Now, he may have lost the funds due him, but he would have lost so much more if he had remained in that state of mind. So by revealing his feelings to the man who owed the money, But he also blessed him, and he also forgave the debt. But he wound up freeing himself. You see, all of these actions that we take where we think we're doing someone else a big favor, you're really doing you a favor. You're blessing you. We got it all backwards. We really do. We have forgiveness all backwards. I've told you that before. Forgiveness is about you. It's not about the other person. Your life is about you. It's not about these other people. You can impact them in a very positive way when you align yourself with that divine energy in you. But this life experience is all about you. I love it. I just love it. So when we can allow our consciousness to be filled with thoughts of lack, when we begrudge paying our bills, when their lack just dominates our entire life, and when we live beyond our means and we are struggling to make ends meet, what we think lack because we do not have what another owes us, but successful endeavors have sown the seeds of failure by thinking in this way. Lack is an insidious, regardless of how it begins. Shift, baby, shift. Good morning, Cody. What's happening?
Oh, baby, I was just listening to you, and you sound great as always. But I was just thinking how important it is to forgive the people that owe you, because you carry it around. You have resentments when you see them. They don't answer your phone calls, and you know that they know that you're on the other line. And I found out, and I use the attitude that as it does, if you hold on to this, it just does more to you. Forgive and let go. But it's interesting how you put it, where once you release that debt, you are free. And I think that's what's important, because as long as you're carrying it around, it's kind of like pissing on yourself. You're the only one that feels it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I could have thought of another analogy, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, baby. I do. I totally get it. I totally, you are so right. Wow. Thank you for sharing this morning. How are you feeling?
I'm great. I'm just great. I'm taking it one day at a time. These lessons are helping me, because it's bringing me back to, well, reality, in the sense that, a lot of times when you get in a state of mind where you're feeling kind of like down and everything, and like, oh, woe is me and that kind of thing, and you hold on to that. Like I told you before, being in this old big house by myself, it kind of lets your mind just run away with you. And, you get more of whatever it is that you want. If you're in misery, you get more misery, you know what I mean? And you just take things to feel bad about. But what blesses me is in the mornings when I have an opportunity to check in with this kind of information and remember that this is what frees you. This is what helps you. This is what makes you grow.
And so I'm telling you, if I didn't have it, I would be close to suicide, I think, if I wasn't doing this every day and hearing this message every day. Life is challenging, but like I said, it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to learn. I love it. I love proving these principles work in our lives. Thank you so much for sharing. I love you, baby. You know that, right?
I love you too, baby. All right.
Bye. Wow. That's my brother. I just love him. Anyway, let's talk about some of the responsibilities of the immensely wealthy. How many of you are ready to move into that line, but immensely wealthy? I mean, you just got abundance flowing left and right. What are the things, if you had $1 billion, because, right now being a millionaire is nothing. You are a billionaire. What would you do with that money? You are a billionaire. What would you do with that money? First of all, you got to move into the consciousness that, hey, I can be a billionaire. Maybe for you, that's not important, being a billionaire. But if you had the money and you could do tremendous work with that money and help heal, I mean, you know, you have great responsibility with great wealth. A successful business that blesses many people. They have customers and vendors and associates and leadership and community. You know, I look at these companies, and I see the magnificent work that they're doing and how they have. Let's take Google, for instance. You guys know I love Google, right? Google, I mean, everybody uses Google to search. If you're on the internet, a few people may use Bing. I don't know who's using Bing. Everybody I know, Google. I mean, Google is so powerful right now. People, they use the term, oh, go Google it. You can Google me. You can Google me. I tell you guys, oh, go Google it. That's when you know that a company has permeated our lives. You remember when you used to make copies, photocopies? We didn't call it photocopies back in the day. It was like, oh, let me get a Xerox copy. That's when you know that a company has really permeated your lives. So I'm totally amazed by that because they're just not here in the United States. They are global. Google is global. Well, their leadership, they earn millions of dollars each year and more money than can realistically be spent on one person. And with the increase in salary, there can be an enlarged appetite for worldly things. Houses that can be bought, expensive cars, diamonds, and precious works of art. But the spiritual entrepreneur for the 21st century will use this wealth in a very different way. The immensely wealthy are not to be centers of consumption. But you are centers that redistribute the wealth for the common good. Just as it was for the business, this begins with a vision. I was watching Morning Joe yesterday, and they had Bill Gates on. And Bill Gates, they said that the man was sitting right there. I thought this was a horrible thing to say, but it was a wonderful thing to say. They say when they write Bill Gates' obituary, it will not be about Microsoft. It's going to be about the work that he's doing now. He's ensuring that these third world countries are getting polio shots. And they talked about all of the other humanitarian work that his and philanthropy that he's doing. I see that there are a couple of people that are that want to talk to me, and I will get to you in just a moment, but I want to finish this little section, and then we'll talk. So just hang tight, okay? So he says he says to us that when we have this great wealth, that we have to have a vision about what we're going to do with it to uplift mankind. He gives this story. He says, Sir John Marks Templeton is an immensely wealthy man who made his fortune in investments. I guess he would be similar to Buffett. His success and farsightedness are admired by many, but it is his vision and ideals that are reflected in the Templeton Foundation Prize for Progress in Religion that set him apart from other individuals who are immensely wealthy. And then you have Ewing Kaufman of Kansas City, Missouri, and he died in 1993. And he's another forerunner for the 21st century spiritual entrepreneurs whose vision and ideals serve to bless many. And he has this foundation that was founded to fund various programs to help children and entrepreneurs. And one of them is called Project Choice. And it pays for the college or vocational education of high school seniors from inner, from the inner city who have maintained their grades and remain drug-free. So these two men have exhibited these rich spirits. They have worked hard and have been people of vision, and consequently they have been a blessing and an example to humanity. And I will add to this Bill Gates. Even Zuckerman, who founded Facebook, donated, I don't know how much money, to New Jersey for the education, for the Board of Education. We have billionaires that are doing wonderful things. And Warren Buffett gave a huge amount of his money to Bill Gates and his wife to manage through their foundation. He made it their responsibility. I guess he says, you know what? I'm getting older now. I'm going to pass it on to you. You guys do what you will with this money, but do good works with it. So these billionaires, they have worked hard and they have been people of vision, and they have been a blessing and an example to our humanity. And this is possible for all of us. But it is essential for those who are immensely wealthy in an earthly sense, because in this age, money has a higher purpose than meeting these tangible needs. Because of the way our society is structured, people of vision can help turn money into changed lives. You can help humanity to discover its true potential. The 21st century business will be in partnership with God. The spiritual entrepreneur, the mystic, the employees, the slash or the associates will be unified by this vision and these high ideals. They will gather in his name, and something incredible will be released from their midst. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Service and creativity will be the watchwords of this partnership, this dedicated to the common good. Because each person, each of you, whether you are the chief executive officer or the entry-level associate, you are a window through which the values of the company can be seen. The ideals will be evident in the boardroom and in the stockroom. The vision will come through the president presenting an address at a business symposium. And it'll even come through the receptionist who's greeting the visitors. You are the vehicle for the expression of that divine energy which we call God, equally meaning source, equally meaning the universe. It works through you. That energy works through you. Wow. Wow. So let me leave you with a couple of thoughts this morning. Number one, money and career are not our reason for being. Money and career are not our reason for existing. Number two, people and the highest ideals make the greatest contribution to humanity. Why? That is God expressing through you. Our career is an outpicturing of our heartfelt beliefs and values. What we choose to do to support humanity. When we're shifting our values, okay, so because, and this is what we do with our kids. We say, go to school, get a good education so you can make some money, buy a house, buy a car, have a family. We lay out this whole plan for them and totally leave out connecting with their passion, which equals and means connecting with that highest frequency of joy, which connects you to God. That's what we should be telling our young people. Oh, baby, what do you love to do? Does that give you joy? Oh, okay, let's do I love the story of Steven Spielberg. His mother said, I would just take him out of school sometimes and let him have, give him his little camera, and we would go out to the desert so he could make a movie. This was a mother who tapped into that. This was her son's passion. And she supported that passion. Listen, he was so intent on being a movie maker. Do you guys know he had an office at Universal and they didn't even know he wasn't an employee there? Somehow he got on the lot and had an office and was running around at Universal and was not an employee. Amazing. So our career is the outpicturing. It should be the outpicturing of our heartfelt beliefs. What is it that we are passionate about? Number four, you need to have vision and service. A vision and providing a service. Those are the successful components of business. Vision and service. Number five, the 21st century business will be a place of creativity. We need to release creativity. He calls it imprisoned splendor. Number six, we need to have responsibilities for the 21st century associate. What are those responsibilities? Number one, to know the vision and the purpose of the organization. And number two, to work with an attitude of service. Number three, to allow this imprisoned splendor, your creativity, to be fully expressed. Number four, to allow the healing of your unresolved issues. Number five, to work from an attitude of trust. You know that the universe supports you. Trust it. You want to be growing and ever unfolding. Listen, when the company comes up and says, we're going to have a change, don't get pissed off about it. Oh, I can't wait. I get to learn something new. And here's the last one. Look to God as the source, not to the company. God is your source. Amen. Listen, Brenda says, who is my boss? God. Who is my boss? God. Number seven, here's a big one. Debt is a thought of lack. And number eight, a successful business blesses its customers, its vendors, its associates, its leadership, and its community. You are a blessing. Your business is a blessing to many, to your community. Amen? So, your affirmation for today: God is my partner, and my work and my vision are service. Wow. I'm so excited. It's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. A great day to be alive. Okay, so I had someone who was holding for me to talk to him, and then I guess I ran my mouth so much they said, forget it, I'll call. Listen, if you want to share your thoughts this morning, we've got some extra minutes here today. Please give me a call, 914-338-0590. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Give me and Dr. Reggie a shout out. Wow. Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Yeah.
How you feeling, babe?
Tired.
You are?
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I'm opening up our lines. I want you to be online.
I'm listening.
Okay, good morning, Jean.
Good morning. Hi.
Good morning, Sophia. Jean.
Good morning. Hi, Dr. Reggie.
Hi.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hey. So what's going on?
Oh, all is well. All is well. I just want to give a shout out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Excited
good
about
your
voice.
Excited about medication? I am too. I am too, Jeannie. I really am.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So,
our listeners
that are in Atlanta are ready to get starting a new class on February the 7th
called Psychic Elephant. Well, it's going to be an open mind system in Roswell. So, I hope you can join us. It's a 6-week course, part one, and I'm going to teach you to recognize your gifts. Because we're all psychics, it's going to help you recognize your own gifts, clairaudience, clairvision. It's going to be amazing. And part two, we get into actual travel and channel. You got to do part two to get to. That's going to be awesome. Thanks.
I love hearing your voice, baby. Oh, yes. Thank you. It's great hearing yours.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia, you was kind of like fading in and out, kind of like.
Yeah, I heard.
I think Dr. Red, you're real clear, but Cynthia was kind of like fading in and out.
Okay, is that better now?
Yes, that's great.
Okay, what happens when I have Dr. Richie's mic on? It cuts my power. His energy just reduces my energy.
So, you know, when you was making that announcement on the meditation, it was going in and out.
Okay. Repeat it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah. What I was telling you guys is that Dr. Reggie is going to be at the Open Mind Center in Roswell beginning February the 7th. He's teaching a 6-week course on psychic development. And really and truthfully, he uses meditation as part of this, but he's going to be awakening you, to your unique gifts of how you receive spirit, hear spirit. So this is a wonderful, wonderful class. And understand that your psychic ability is your connection with spirit, with God, with your higher self. It's a gift. It is a gift. And this is really what we need to rely on when we're moving through the physical realm. Is that not right, Dr. Reggie?
Yes, very true. It's your navigation system.
It is. So I would truthfully, if you're in Atlanta, I would really encourage you to take the 6-week course. And like I said, this is part one. Part two will be moving in the spirit, how you can go beyond this physical plane into astral traveling. Many of you have heard me share the story of Dr. Reggie and I, how we had one of our first dates was in the astral. It was absolutely fabulous. Okay, so let's go to another caller this morning. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hey, good morning, Cynthia.
Hey, how are you, Carolyn?
I am wonderful, wonderful. I miss you guys. Hi, Dr. Reggie.
Oh, I miss you. We miss you, too. I heard from Aaliyah the other day, and I thought about you, and I said, oh, my God, what's Carolyn doing?
Working.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's a good sign. Good sign.
All is well. All is well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anything you want to share?
You're fading in and out again, Cynthia.
Is there anything you want to share?
No, I just want to shout out and to actually say that these principles do work. I am proof. They do work. They do work.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Amen.
Yes.
You have a testimony?
Well, not quite yet, but it's coming.
Okay. Love you.
Love you, too.
All righty. Wow, my goodness. I'm so glad to hear everybody's voice this morning. Listen, Carolyn and Jean, they went through Dr. Reggie's Mystery School. We started out with about 8 students. And this is the one thing about Mystery School. It requires a 1-year commitment, and not everybody can do it. At some point, they just say, oh, okay, I got to cut out. But I love it when the, you know, we always expect the for it to narrow down near the end, but these two hung in here. And I even understand that they want to continue and do refresher classes and everything. So we'll talk about that a little later. Okay, I've got Brenda in the chat room, and she's just going away here. She, first of all, she said that she taught her son at home in her living room. She homeschooled her son. And she says, my son got to stand in the very spot Patrick Henry stood in the church declaring, give me liberty or give me death. And he said the words and felt the passion in his spirit. He was 10 years old. Now, you know what I'm going to say about that? He was standing in the very place. He tapped into that energy. You see, that energy signature of Patrick Henry at the time that he said that still remained in that place. And her son tapped into it. That's an amazing, that's just amazing. Well, Dr. Reggie,
yeah.
I think it's time for us to go into our closing prayer.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful lesson that we're learning always in the energy of circles of prosperity, that we learn to be prosperous and that we learn to give. And there's an energy exchange of giving and receiving. Learning to receive is just as powerful as learning to give. Thank you for the energy of blessings, the power that we have of life. Let us use it wisely and judiciously, and to gain the momentum of healing and love in everything that we do and everyone we meet. We thank you for this power, that we're all being blessed right now. And we believe it is so, and so it is.